الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. Thus far we've discussed three rukus from the best of stories as mentioned and as described by Allah, the story of Sayyidina Yusuf عليه السلام. And in the last ruku we spoke about after Yusuf عليه السلام reached maturity and Yusuf عليه السلام was now of age, the wife of the minister who was supposed to be looking after Yusuf عليه السلام tried to seduce Yusuf عليه السلام and even went to the extent of trying to seduce him against his will, in trying to coerce him towards taking action towards her. Eventually Yusuf alayhi salam sought protection from Allah. Allah had aided him with a miracle where he had seen the vision of his father, and Yusuf alayhi salam ran towards the doors. There were seven doors and he tried to escape from those doors, and with the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam and the assistance of Allah in those moments, amazingly the doors had opened up, and then Allah had allowed other miracles to play out in his favor, where a little baby in the baby's cradle exclaimed and made it clear the innocence of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam.
And then today we begin with the fourth ruku of Surah Yusuf. But before we begin, I also want to mention regarding the wife of the Aziz, which is Zulaykha. She didn't just have that feeling on that one occasion. It was a feeling that was being perpetuated in her heart as time was going on, and then her heart couldn't take it anymore, and that's when she decided to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. So it was the first time where you deny it and stuff like that. So it was, and it's important in this ruku, that's why I'm mentioning it.
You know, on that note, right? In drug addiction, they say you relapse in your mind way before you relapse in real life. So when your mind succumbs to a sin and you give in mentally and spiritually, you may take action a few months later or you may take action a few weeks later, but it teaches us not to entertain evil thoughts, because in the moment you may not see the results, but the results of that evil thoughts can be catastrophic much later.
You make the affliction less in your mind. You make the evil less in your mind. Okay, so we continue with the fourth ruku. وقال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال نسوة في المدينة. There was a group of women in the city. Medina, yeah, is referring to the city of Egypt. There was five ladies that were involved in this. In this scenario, yeah. So what did these ladies say? That the wife of the Aziz had actually, and because they're speaking about it because it's gossip, right? The wife of the Aziz, the king, his wife, what's the word, Turawidu, has...
She's tried to seduce
her slave against his own will. Now, the five ladies, who are these five ladies and how did they get to know about it, right? So the first lady that it's mentioned in some narrations, that is the wife of the cupbearer of the king. The wife of the cupbearer of the king. The second woman was the wife of the doorman, the gatekeeper of the palace. The third was the wife of the cook of the king. The fourth was the wife of the headman of the stables. So he used to look after the animals and the cows and horses and whatever. And then the fifth wife was the wife of the guard at the prisons. So they got together, and it all just like, because they were in the palace, they got together and they started talking. It probably was their lunch break. They were talking about what happened, and maybe the wife of the gatekeeper seen this whole scenario happen, and they were fighting. Yeah, panchat, like inside stories. And it's on general occasions we find that people are talking more. The news is also talking more about celebrity gossip than what's actually happening in the world. So they talked about the wife of the king seducing her slave.
It's very interesting that you mention which ladies knew about it, because in the last verse of the third ruku is the conversation between the Aziz, Yusuf alayhi salam, and Zulaykha. The three of them were present, and at that point the Aziz said, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, just overlook this, just forget about it, turn a blind eye and let's carry on with life, you know. Wastaghfiri li dhanbik, and said to his wife Zulaykha, and you repent for your sins because what you did was wrong. So the question would be, how did this information leak to the women of the city? And you made it clear through what you mentioned that it was ladies who were somehow acquainted to this royal circles, and that's how they were able to find out. So let's translate this verse. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, and the women of the city, what they said, إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, the wife of the minister seduced or tried to seduce her slave boy against his will. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا. Then they said the only reason this can happen is that she was overcome with infatuation and obsession, because she was a married lady, she was an upright lady, she was a respectable lady, she had so much to lose. What would cause her to take this action? قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا. She was overtaken by an obsession and overtaken with infatuation.
قَدْ شَغَفَ حُبَّ. This is where I was saying that it didn't only happen at the time of the seduction. It was prior to that that she was, it was, and in the kitab it's written that the voice in her, the deep recesses of her heart, was making dhikr of Yusuf more and more every day. So the day she seen him, it was maybe Yusuf once, and then it slowly, slowly dripped into her heart that this is who now I am infatuated with. That's قَدْ شَغَفَ حُبَّ.
إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Then people at a distance are the best judges. So they now observing this entire story and they say, look, in our opinion, in our authoritative opinion as onlookers, إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا, we see her as on open misguidance. She made an open error. That's the way we review the situation.
فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. And when she heard about their quiet talk, makr is like when you're plotting. But the reason why they gave the word makr is because it's like it's always done in secrecy. When she heard their panchat, or got to wind of their panchat, أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ, she sent to them an invitation. And the Mufassirun mentioned, she sent an invitation not only to the five, because she knew who were the five. She sent to 40 women. And obviously these women will come to a palace where they'll be, وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَعَ, they will be laid out with a banquet. They call it a banquet at the time, like, you know, the fancy dinners. And they had couches and pillows and royalty around them with luxury. And she gave them invitation, 40 of these women, an invitation to come to this banquet. And the five of the women were there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned this word that when she heard about bimakrihinna, when she heard about their plot. Now, easy way to translate this and explain it is when she heard about their backbiting, that's when she took the action, right? But Maulana Ashiq Ilahi mentions under this bimakrihinna, he says that this actually what it is their plot to see what Yusuf alayhi salam looked like.
Subhanallah.
So now you hear the story and then they say, who's the guy? Who's the guy? What made us so dear Makar? Who's the guy like?
You never seen him before, because the moment he came into Egypt, he was in the king's palace.
Yeah, yeah. So, مُتَّكَأُ وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَةً. So she put place for them to recline, like a banquet. She prepared this type of function, and she gave each of them a knife. Now, why did she give a knife? One narration says she served them a type of dish that required a knife. So sometimes you're eating steak that's very tough, and you need to cut that steak. So it could have been that. Another narration says they were given fruit, and they needed to cut the fruit. So in any way, she gave them some food that required a knife, and each of them was sitting with a knife.
And also the knife, so in another narration it's mentioned that the knife was given, there was two types of knives given to each lady, got their own type. One was to for the fruit, and one was for the meat. So it wasn't two separate dishes, it was all happening at the same time. And they're relaxing, and they at the most comfortable position they could be with a knife. They're not going to get cut, they all comfortable. وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ. And she said to Yusuf alayhi salam that come out now to them. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ. And when they saw him, the moment they saw him. And just by the way, she didn't order him to come now and present himself. She ordered him to come like subtly in their presence, and then they must now gauge how this happens, because they're not going to put him on show. That's not what he was there for. He was there as a slave. And after all what happened already, she's not going to treat him now with with kindness. So she says, subtly go amongst them and go see what happens. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ The moment they seen him, they set eyes on him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ They glorified him like no one's business.
So they were taken aback when they seen Yusuf alayhi salam. Obviously, again, Yusuf alayhi salam didn't come there to flaunt himself. Yusuf alayhi salam was the slave in the household. And for whatever errand he was called in, Yusuf alayhi salam came in and they were taken aback. Now, how the next expression will highlight to us how taken aback and how amazed they were by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ And then as a result, they were so mesmerized at Yusuf alayhi salam that they actually cut at their hands. And one of our ustads told us there's a special reason why Allah put a tajdeed on the ta is to emphasize that they didn't just do a slit, they actually cut on their hands. They were so mesmerized and they didn't feel the pain. They didn't realize until Yusuf alayhi salam left their presence did they actually cut their hands.
Subhanallah. And just to put it into perspective, qata'a means to cut. There's just a tajdeed on this one. Qatta'a means to when you really going at the cutting and you like slaughtering something. Wa qulna hasha lillah. And they said, glory be to Allah alone. In hadha illa malakun kareem. This is not a man. This is an angel. And not just any angel. This is one of those honorable angels.
So the perception in those times, right? It may be accurate. It may not be accurate. But devils are ugly. And angels are beautiful. So in order to call Yusuf alayhi salam good looking, they use the example saying that he is a noble angel. We might have mentioned this previously, but just to reiterate, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went for Mi'raj, and after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam set eyes on this handsome brother of his, Yusuf alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding Yusuf alayhi salam that all the beauty of all the men, half of that was given to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So can you imagine the beauty and the radiance of Yusuf alayhi salam, and included in that is Noor of Prophethood.
Subhanallah. The next ayah is going to talk about how Zulaykha tries to get herself out of, or to show them that you can't blame me for something like this. I mean, look at what your hands look like now. So, in fact, we always talk about the story making Zulaykha the villain. The villain, right? In actual fact, this happened. And the whole story went by, and Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam actually got married to Zulaykha at some point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually in this surah is also defending Zulaykha by telling us that she tried, but she didn't get, so Allah saved her from it. So people started backbiting about her. Allah defended her by calling all these, by giving her the inspiration to call all these women and show them what happened to her is happening now to them. And this is the first time they got to see Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is like the millionth time that she got to see Yusuf alayhi salam. Here she says, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِي This is what you were blaming me for. At this point here, I'm actually victorious over you guys because I didn't do it at the first time I glanced at him.
Her hands were right.
Yeah.
وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ She said that indeed I attempted to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam against his will. I confessed to it. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ And Yusuf alayhi salam managed to escape. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيُكُونَمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ Now that you all have seen what odds that I am against, now that you've all seen how handsome and attractive Yusuf alayhi salam is, I'm going to say to all of you that if Yusuf alayhi salam does not submit, if Yusuf alayhi salam does not give in to what I want him to do, then I will end up imprisoning him, or I will make him from amongst those humiliated people. But he doesn't have a choice in the matter. I'm going to make his life difficult if he doesn't concede to what I want.
Now turning the camera towards Yusuf alayhi salam, where Zulaykha says, Fasta'asam. Fasta'asam means that he avoided it, yes, but also means to resist a temptation. So it was a temptation for him as well, but he resisted it. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ Yusuf alayhi salam says, Oh Allah, that the prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ And if you do not turn away from me their planning and their plots, أصبو إليهن. I will incline towards them. I will incline to doing the wrong deeds. وأكون من الجاهلين, and I'll be from those who are ignorant. Ignorant of what though? Ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a human being, he had his flaw by saying that as a human, I would be tempted to going to this kind of situation. And sometimes what we do is we claim to be weak in a certain thing, but that's why we're doing it, because we're weak. Mm-hmm. This is my weakness, I'm going to continue doing it. He claimed his weakness to that, which showed strength in the eyes of Allah, but he didn't just carry on doing it by saying, you know what, I'm weak, it's my weakness.
Point.
Fasta'asam. He resisted to that temptation.
Wow. So he acknowledged his weakness and didn't use his weakness as an excuse to do the sin. He acknowledged his vulnerability and used that as a means to take constructive action. Allahu Akbar. What a powerful point you're making. But now there's so much that is grown out of this verse, right? Where Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, oh Allah, I ask you that prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards. And if you do not turn me away or create a way out of their plans, then I fear that I may succumb and I'll be from amongst the ignorant people. Now, one of the things, or there's so many things to mention, the one of it is that after these ladies seen Yusuf alayhi salam, he now wasn't only under attack by Zulaikha, he was under attack from all of these ladies. And Yusuf alayhi salam knew that the situation is extremely volatile, because these ladies were going back to their husbands and gossiping, and all of those ladies set Yusuf alayhi salam as a target. The other thing is never to trust your own nafs. Yusuf alayhi salam as a Nabi himself, he's saying, look, if you don't save me in this situation, then I can be in a very vulnerable position. Let me share with you a very short story, right? There was going to be a music festival happening in Johannesburg, and we wanted to take a measure where we have ulama standing at the entrance as a means of aversion for Muslim youth from attending, hoping that we'll stand at the entrance and we'll greet the Muslim youth, and as a result, they won't attend the party, right? We went to one alim who is a noteworthy, pious alim involved in Tabligh Jamaat, and I went to him and I requested, Monana, please, you have to join us. He said, no, sorry. I said, but Monana, this is important. He said, I won't join you because I don't trust myself in that environment.
Subhanallah.
Oh.
Subhanallah.
And then another point that comes out here is that Imam Qurtubi rahimahumullah mentions that when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said, oh Allah, prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me towards, at that point Allah replied to the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam, oh Yusuf, you have yourself asked to be imprisoned. If you asked for safety, I would have granted it to you.
Without prison.
So you specifically asked for prison. So when we ask for a way out, we ask Allah for afia. We don't give specifics, because Allah's plan can be way beyond our wisdom. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he reports a narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit a man who was weak and elderly, and his body was in a poor condition. And he was in this condition, and he explained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he makes dua to Allah that Allah punish me in this world for my sins instead of causing me to face the punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, saying, Subhanallah, why don't you rather say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allah, give me goodness in this world, give me goodness in the next world, but don't bring upon yourself punishment and calamity and difficulty.
And it's the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ana inda dhanni abdi bi, that I am what to my slave what he perceives of me. And Yusuf alayhi salam perceived sijin, which is the prison, fastajaba lahu rabbu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted that from him. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ, and he saw two things, that Allah must take him away from their plans and he prefers prison over those plots and plans. So Allah gave him the prison and Allah gave him a safety away from the plans of those women. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
Certainly Allah is the one who is all-hearing, and Allah is the one who is all-knowing. Then in the last verse of this ruku, Allah says, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَزْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. Then after they went back and they reviewed the evidence, Zulaikha went to her husband and she tried to influence him to put Yusuf alayhi salam in prison. They were also concerned about reputational damages because the story was making its rounds in the city. So then they went back like as if they reviewed evidence. Even though the evidence was watertight, the shirt was torn from the back, Yusuf alayhi salam was trying to run away. They met Yusuf alayhi salam at the door, but they reviewed all of the evidence and then it occurred to them that they should imprison Yusuf alayhi salam for a period of time.
And you know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beloved to us, and where we actually supposed to, where we do feel hurt when we hear about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stripped to Ta'if, for example, and how he was tortured by the mushrikeen of Makkah, etc. But when it comes to the other Anbiya, we should also sometimes have these, like we should have the closeness with other Anbiya as we should Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas has a narration, a hadith, where he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that أَمَرَ بِهِ فَحُمِلَ عَلَى حِمَارٍ. It was commanded that he goes into the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam, and he was carried to the prison on a donkey. And he was whacked with ضُرِبَ بِالطَّبْلِ, and he was whacked with a drum, like a drum. وَنُودِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي أَصْوَاقِ مِصْرِ. And it was called out in the streets and in the marketplaces of Egypt. إِنَّ يُوسُفَ الْعَبْرَانِ أَرَادَ سَيِّدَتَهُ فَجَزَاؤُهُ أَيُّسْجَنْ. That thus Yusuf has tried to seduce his master, and the only recompense is prison. And Abu Salih mentions that every single time Ibn Abbas narrated this hadith, he wouldn't just narrate it, he would narrate it with tears.
Massive respect and motivation we draw from Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that he was so averse to displeasing Allah that whatever it took he would do in order to save himself from displeasing Allah. Even if it meant in innocence, he would be dragged on the donkey, beaten like a drum, embarrassed in front of the people, spent time in isolation in prison, but he did so because his desire to please Allah was greater than his desire for anything else.
In Egypt at that time there, a narration also regarding the prisons of Egypt is that they had three types of prisons. The first one I really can't remember, human am insan. The second one was for people who were really treacherous people. They would be alone in a prison with a snake and a scorpion. Alone. And they didn't have fancy prison, no tiles, nothing, right? And then they had one for like a holding cell, which Yusuf alayhi salam went to, which was on the ground. The other two would be in a deeper portion of the ground.
May Allah allow our lives in goodness and in piety to replicate that of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Stay tuned.